BTW, FYI, tap the banner ASAP to learn about Nexplanon, etanogestrel implant 68 milligrams radiopaque, or ask your HCP IRL. Visit Nexplanon.com RN. K-T-T-Y-L.
Everybody, Jake and Gino here, and we have an interesting journey. It all started with the big guy over here buying his first triplex. But a little backstory, I'm in St. Augustine today visiting my friend. We have Multifamily Mastery 4 come up in a few days, and we want to give a little backstory. I want to talk about that first triplex and what you learned, because we've come a long way from a three family behind your restaurant to purchasing over 1,800 apartment units. And I want to hear the story about the Great Wall of Italy, because I know you overspent on this retaining wall. So please elaborate.
It was actually the Great Wall of China. I mean, there were railroad ties. And, you know, in my infinite wisdom, I know it all. It's our first deal. Do you think I call somebody? Do you think I get a coach or a mentor? If I had spent $30,000 on my education, I would have gotten back just from this one deal. I ended up going to put stones, and there was a lot of rotting retaining walls. Maybe I could have gotten a retrade and asked the seller, hey, can you give me a little bit of credit on these walls? Didn't know what that was. Didn't know what a cap rate was. Didn't know what a cash on cash return was. There was a lot of stuff that I needed to do on this property. And I
fixed.
And the stone walls, they're beautiful. I mean, they're still there. Listen, I bought the property a long time ago. I sold the property a year and a half ago when we decided to flee New York, sold it. And, you know, it's ironic because I probably sold it almost for what I paid for. So back in the early 2000s, around 2004, 2005, it's not that we overpaid on the property. What ended up happening was it was a legal three and I had four units there. So when I bought it, did I go out and do a lien search? No. What we ended up doing was we ended up taking the oven out and making one of those units not a unit. Fast forward, should have never done that. My mentor, my coach would have said, Gino, don't do that because you're buying a legal three. So the price would have been discounted a little bit. The second huge mistake I made is I overfixed everything. Beautiful driveway, beautiful stone retaining walls, great, you know, interiors. These are your rental units. I'm not living there. I didn't know that at the time. I probably spent, I would say, an average of about $50,000 on overfixing this property. Now, the only saving grace, Jake, is that I own this property for a long time. I didn't buy it and 3 years later I decided to flip it. I use it as part of my business also. We had a couple of garages below that had storage. I used one of those for my restaurant. So I was renting it back from the restaurant. So making some income there, but actually storing a lot of merchandise that I had, boxes. So it was great for that. The other thing that was
an expensive rental unit.
It was.
Expensive storage unit.
But the other great thing about it was, everybody, it was a great property for me. It was easy to manage. It was something with three units, I can maintain it. And it was right next to my base of operations. So I didn't think that ever happened. It was a good first property. But the problem with the property was it gave me the limiting belief that all I could do is small properties, three units, four units, five units. And I stayed at that level. As you like to hear, Jake likes to say a lot of times, it's a pie in the sky. Multifamily is a pie in the sky. And that's what I felt until I met Jake.
So I was actually thinking about you last night. We're staying in an Airbnb off of St. George Street here in St. Augustine before we head out to Orlando for the event. And all these lights are on in the house. And I remember once you were telling me a story about your dad and you guys would be driving by and all the lights were on in the house. So tell us a little bit about that, because there's definitely things that you should worry about. And we want to make sure that utilities are in line. But I think at times you may have been focused on the wrong things.
Well, that's the other thing. There was a master meter for all three units in the main house.
Even for the electric.
Oh. So what I ended up doing was, I remember, it was a $5,000 bill. At that time was a lot of money. I had the electrician come in. It's probably more now because this is New York. So it's NYSEG, New York State Electric and Gas. So you've got to buy the big meter panel. You've got to get permits. You've got to go and split utilities in each individual unit. So it took a lot of time. There's a lot of infrastructure. But after that $5,000, if the tenants are paying on average $150 to $200 a month in these units, you recoup that investment very quickly. And you know what? When you see that light on the deck, you don't have to worry about paying that light on the deck. The other thing that we did that was a mistake, now that I look back, we had an oil tank. We had one oil tank with one burner feeding all three units. What we ended up doing was ultimately getting the thermostats and bringing them down in the basement, having the controls in the basement, but putting the thermostat upstairs where you can actually control it. So each one was separately, thermostat. service added, but I had the controls in the basement so I could lower the controls whenever I needed. Now, you might get some wise guy residents putting a bag of ice on there and dropping the thermostat. That's known, but I at least knew that I could control it because when they're not paying, it's the middle of the winter, January 15th. I'm driving down. I see the window open one of those apartments. And guess what? I walk inside and I think I'm in Aruba. It's 80 degrees in there. They're not paying for the heat.
That's your $5,000 a month, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what I should have done was here, everybody, here is the electric. Here's the gas bill that for the oil every month, I should have split it up between all three units and their consumption definitely would have dropped because now they're paying it. And I could have done it by, there was one apartment that had two bedrooms and the other two had one. So I could have said, there's four beds total. If the bill is $1,000, each bed pays $250 per month. The one with the two beds would have paid $500, and the one with the one beds would have paid $250 each. Another huge mistake that Jake and I now take control of with rubs.
Time out. You're stealing my thunder right now. Ooh, because we have three learning lessons from going from a three family to over 1,800 units. And the first lesson is systems. Mm. And what Gino's discussing right now is he didn't have systems in place. RUBS, ratio utility billing systems. That's a bill back to the residents. If Gino would have had systems in place and he would have been properly mentored at the time, he would have known that I need to be billing back for this. So I'm not driving by with my old man getting pissed saying, look at these guys. They're killing me over here with the lights. They got the window open in the middle of the winter here. This is not Aruba, okay? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't their fault. It was how you guys had structured it. Yeah, you got to take ultimate responsibility here. So the key number one learning lesson is you need to look at multifamily as a business, put the right systems in place, and work on day in and day out creating a well-oiled machine. We say education times action equals results. Specifically, what we mean by that, that will get you in the game. That doesn't guarantee success. That will get you into that first three family. Mm-hmm. That'll get you in that first 50 unit, okay? Mm-hmm. Getting educated, taking massive action gets you into the property, but then you need to focus on number one, the systems component. You need proper systems, proper property management in place, and things such as those build backs to make sure you're not driving by going, how dare you do this to me? Because that's the wrong mentality.
Let me finish Jake's thought. We create multifamily entrepreneurs at Jake and Gino, our catalyzing statement. And I wish I was an entrepreneur at that time because I would have set up a website, set up a payment portal system. So I don't even have to collect rent from the tenants, pay online. I would have actually put leases where I can actually just email them a lease, let them fill the lease out and let it come back. It would have saved me hours a month by doing that. But I didn't know that because I didn't have the mentorship. I didn't have the education. From that one property, I learned and I said, oh, wow, in 08, 09, I went out and I got that mentorship, that education that was teaching me these systems. Now, at Jake and Gino, it's buy right, manage right, and finance right. Most mentors out there focus on buy right and finance right. They don't do the manage right, which is really important. That's the most important one, everybody. We can go out buy deals. We can finance the deals. But guess what? The manage right is in constant motion. And as far as systems, Jake, I'm going to share another quick story. I was the landlord with the death spiral. I look back one day in 2018, and all of a sudden, our rents are at $950 for one bedroom. Going rents at the time for one bedroom were $1,300. So I was not implementing my system of checking and raising rents every year and staying in line with the market. What did I end up doing? I ended up losing a couple of the residents because they couldn't go from $950 to $1,300.
You had big turn costs.
Exactly.
Where if you stayed up with inflation, minimal rent increases every year.
Exactly.
Everyone would have been in place.
Big shout out to Shannon. Rand Property Manager. She's a great coach of the Jake and Gino community. She's teaching our students how to manage right. Did I have a property log? Did I have a weekly pulse? These are all the things that we talk about on how to manage right. If I had had that years ago, it would have been, this property would have been a lot easier to run. I would not have left so much money on the table every single month.
So number two is people. Systems do not work without people. Mm-hmm. Multifamily is a team sport and you need to be able to delegate properly. That may be a property management firm. That may be the employees within your property management firm. That may be asset management, but you need two things, competence and positivity, okay? You can't have one without the other because Gino mentioned a death spiral. Just because someone is competent does not mean they're going to be a good fit for your team. They could be negative. We call it the Eeyore syndrome. We don't want to be bringing, oh, I don't know if I can do it today kind of thing on the team. You need to have the right core values, competent and positive to make sure you're a good fit for our organization. You may have a team of competent Eeyores and you have a way to work that. That's fine, but that's not going to work within our organization. So the second key is delegating properly with the right people on the bus to make sure the systems are working properly.
And real quick, I had one restaurant for 20 years and I had that one threeplex for years. What changed? The people that I employed. Steve Robinson, go listen to his podcast in the Jake and Gino channel. He's this former CMO, Chief Marketing Officer of Chick-fil-A. He says you need three C's when you're hiring. Didn't know what that was. We've been doing this for the last few years because we have the core values and we have our culture and our mission statement. But when you're hiring somebody, look for their character, look for their competency, and look for their credibility, right? Character, competency, I would say credibility, but also make that credibility chemistry, right? Character, competency, and chemistry. You want them to be a person of character. That's what we're always looking for. We're looking for people with ethics and morals who are going to work hard. We want them
right
to be
values, right?
Yes.
Values-based decision making.
Exactly. And we want people to be competent. They need to know the job. And if they don't know the job, they're competent. They can learn the job. Yeah. But most importantly, you want them to have some type of chemistry with you. Like Jake said, if they're the ER syndrome and you're upbeat, it's not going to work out. So focus on those three C's when you're hiring. And I'm here to promise you, when you're thinking about hiring somebody, you've already waited too long. That was our biggest mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And that's entrepreneur's biggest mistake is they're too afraid to hire. Trust me, don't be afraid to hire because you can always say to yourself, I made a mistake. I can let this person go after 3 months.
And then you know what the role is supposed to look like because there may be a new role that you're evolving.
Yes.
You hire somebody for it and you realize you're a great fit for the team. This role wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but you're doing great here. So you need that person. And then that role may evolve again. It's constant evolution. It's entrepreneurship 101. Test, measure, pivot.
Yep.
And you do it all over again. So the third one, culture. Okay. What are we talking about today? We're talking about people, systems, and culture. Okay. The third one is culture. It took us a little while on this one. Once we got our core values right, once we started the charitable arm of our organization, Rand Cares, we saw how important culture was. Now, part of this was my fault that it took us so long. I came from an organization when in my W-2 that was great culture until it wasn't. And then I started thinking all things corporate were bad. And that was wrong because I remember what great culture felt like. And it's fun. And it's we do the activities together. We share life together. But we also give back. And I'm going to tell you right now, my biggest tip for creating a great culture within an organization is to share in your mission together. We love giving back to children that are less fortunate. So what do? We give back to Second Harvest Food Bank. So far, we've given over 80,000 meals to kids that are struggling to eat every day. And look, we both love food. So it's a passion of ours because we don't want a kid that can't make choices for themselves to go hungry. So as a group, we come together, give back. We make sure we feed the kids multiple times per year. And it's such a rewarding feeling. And the team rallies around that. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it's really, I mean, we're doing right by society. We're giving back, but also the culture within our organization really thrives on that. So there's so many wins, and I can't tell you guys enough how important it is to have within your culture. Culture is much more than just giving back, but how important that one piece will be to great cultural growth within your group.
There's so much that I can say about this topic. I'm going to really keep it short with the culture piece because I think for us,
we had a whole show on culture.
We had that evolution. Yeah. So for me, I want you as you're watching this, where are you on your journey? You may be saying, I'm just starting out. I don't need any of this. You may be right.
You're going to at some point.
But that's my thing. Always think of the exit strategy or your end goal. If you're looking to get 10 or 15 units and be comfortable with that, you may not need that, but you're still going to have to hire people. So think about what your core values are. Think about what your culture, what you want your culture to be, and start focusing on that and start looking at that. I thought Jake left. I said, where's he going, bro?
No, I know you like to give stuff away. Now I'm in the house today. So right here.
The honey
talk about culture, multiple streams of revenue, everything that we're doing, people, system, culture. We wrote the book on. It's called The Honeybee. The G-Dad is a sweetheart. Gino, jakeandgino.com. Email him. Send you a free PDF copy. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in Orlando this weekend. We are going to rock out doing probably 900 to 1,000 people at this event. So thank you so much, gang. Gino, thank you for your insight, sir.
Thanks, guys.
BTW, FYI, tap the banner ASAP to learn about Nexplanon, etanogestrel implant 68 milligrams radiopaque, or ask your HCP IRL. Visit Nexplanon.com, RN. KTTYL.